This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned. Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
Do you want to watch The Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas. More than just radio. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch The Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Morning, Halftime, how's everybody today? Had a little difficulty sleeping last night. Matt Jones, I don't know if you had the same problem. Phil Elson here, Matt Jones in our ESPN Arkansas studios. C-Unit Kristen Johnston at the controls. We had some pretty nasty stuff outside the home studio yesterday. It was ugly. About 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, the nature put on a light show outside. And I have a feeling that we've been told that you could have some of the same things going on later tonight. Some of our listeners in Hot Springs may have been affected by a tornado yesterday. I saw some video from one of the news stations that tornado had touched down in Hot Springs. I don't know all the details about it or how much damage or destruction there was, but hope everything's all right around our 96.3 listening audience. Morning to you, Matt. I had a little trouble sleeping because of that last night. How about you?
Yeah, kind of normal, I guess. I went to bed around 1, and I was up by 6 this morning. So that's usually I like to get to sleep by 11. But, you know, I just couldn't get to sleep after watching Luka 1-for-8 from the three-point line. Just kept throwing it up. You're like, bro, you got to do something else. But he's their superstar. So the thing is, if they're going to win, he's going to have to play better. Was impressed with Gadford. I mean, I think this is a really good matchup for Gadford. That there's no reason he can't have a double double. I think he had 4 or 5 blocks as well. Dallas is going to have to play better. That's for sure.
Was there a hog on hog block? I didn't have the game on. I was at Little
League. Yeah. Jalen Williams. He'd went up, and I think Gadford got him one time. But Gadford can get it. Man, he had one block. It was a fast break fill. I'm not kidding you. The dude's elbow was at the square. Like, I mean, I bet you he's close. Now, I don't know if he can do it, but I bet you he's not 5 inches away from touching the top of the backboard, not just the square. Dude has hops.
Man, well, how much did Jalen Williams and Isaiah get on the court? Let's see, total of 32 minutes between the two of them. That's about right, isn't it?
Yeah, Isaiah's got a shot. You know, you think, what else can he do? That's kind of the thing. Being able to shoot the ball is a big time plus. But you look at the other guards they have. I mean, Giddy, he can't shoot he can't throw it in the ocean, and he gets to play. Shai Gilgeous, man, he jumps into you, gets to the free throw line. He knows what he's doing. He's fun to watch.
Look at Jay Will, though, off the bench. So 17 minutes, 11 points, 9 boards, 2 assists.
Just smooth with it, really. Like, if you watched him play, he was real smooth, under control, kind of just doing his thing. You know, nothing, didn't force anything. You know, I don't know how many plays they run for him, but he's kind of knows his role, good teammate. That's what you want out of your role player, going 22 minutes and getting 11 points and being at 9 boards, too. Man, that's getting it done.
33-8 at home in the regular season, now 3-0 in the postseason at home.
I think the Thunder have won 10 in a row if you go back to the end of the season.
At the Paycom Center?
And then, yeah, well, just their last, they won their last five regular season games, and okay, they swept the Pelicans, so they've actually, they're on a heater. Yeah, they won 10 in a row.
Well, I think like Boston wins a bit. You know, they kind of dominated in that
game. Didn't watch a single. Why would you watch it? You're going to get false information by watching Boston play Atlanta. You're going to fall in love with something that's not really a
Cleveland.
Sorry, you're going to find something that you like that's not real.
Don't scout that series.
It's not
going
to. Yes, it's not going to carry over. All you want, Phil, is for everybody to be healthy. They have no business being on the floor with Boston.
You know, don't even worry about having fun. Just be healthy because they're going to win it.
Be healthy, be smart.
Is that a sweep? Can the Cavs pull off one at home?
It might be a gentleman's sweep. When you have Donovan Mitchell, that dude, he can go for 50 any night. The thing I don't see, Phil, I'll be honest with you, when Max Strus is your second best scoring option almost, you know, Mobley, there's nothing else to go with, Phil. It's really a one-man show.
Christian Springdale is a little worried about your 11 p.m. bedtime. He says, he put in a text, 11 p.m. bedtime, yikes. Now, I don't know if that means he expects that you should be going to sleep earlier or going to sleep later.
No, I mean, 11 o'clock, nights, lights out. I'm in bed by 9.
Yeah.
You know, let's get this straight. I'm laying down, flipping the channels, checking whatever you're doing, and then it's like sleep time, though. That 10:30, 11 gets here. It's time to shut the eyes. Yeah.
Takes a little bit of time for the weight of the eyelids to come all the way down.
That's right. It's as soon as the thing, too, it gets the sun's going down so much later now, Phil. My schedule's kind of getting pushed back a little bit with, got to golf and then got to fix dinner. You got to wind down. Yeah. So it's a whole process.
We're good for this. I mean, that's the whole thing about keeping daylight savings where it is. I love it when we've got the extra sun. Man, I mean, it's just, you can be outside a little longer. Had the sun in my eyes a little bit longer at Little League last night. Nationals really put it on the Doyers 14-2.
How was Little League?
Good.
Did you get a hit?
Three walks.
Hey, there we go. Getting on base.
Three walks. Yeah. I think he scored two runs, including, hey, we had a grand slam yesterday for the LR Nationals. My son Gabriel is at first base. The kid who hit the grand slam, I mean, he turned around on this ball, too. Wasn't an over-the-fence grand slam. I don't think we get too many of those at age 11 to 12. But it was a liner into the left center gap. This kid is so fast, he almost passed my son on the base. Like, you were like legit. They were both like one right after the other coming down the third base line.
Willie Mays Hayes, yeah.
Well, and go. I've told you about Gabe before, too. And I mean, I love the kid to death, but he's the one that might be looking at the butterflies flying around in the outfield. That's not what he was doing on the bases, because, I mean, he actually has a little bit of awareness of what to do in the bases and how, like, where to throw the ball from the outfield. But I don't know if he's the fleetest of foot, especially for the kid who's hitting behind him. He almost got passed on a grand slam, but he did cross the plate when he needed to. Big celebration. That was my sports from last night, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. 14-2. Don't feel any of that. It's nice when, you know, I'm around all the intensity and the, like, nerves isn't the way to put it. It's just SEC weekends are intense. They always are, especially this time of the season when you're making the push and, you know, they're trying to win a division, win a league, and get a top eight national seed. So there's an intensity to it. Little League Baseball, like, I see there are plenty of parents that treat it with an intense nature. I'm not one of them. I just kind of enjoyed the atmosphere, the sun in my eyes, the occasional mosquito bite, and not having to worry about talking throughout a game. It was really nice.
I saw a little bit of Shohei Ohtani going back to the big leagues a little bit, and we got plenty of time, and we'll get Alyssa Orange later on and ask her about it too. But he's clearly going to win the MVP now that he's not pitching. Right, like he's a one focus guy, because I just thought of this today. You've brought this up. We've had James Teague on. I bet, you know, we ask him questions and how specialized, how individualized it is to be a pitcher, a hitter, an outfielder. What you have to do in practice, and the fact now that he's taken that all the way out, that he doesn't have to put that energy into pitching. I mean, he's going to hit 50 jacks this year, easy.
He had a season like that the year, but the first time he had the elbow surgery, and he was just a hitter the year with the Angels. You know, he's going to get back to pitching next year. They're not giving him whatever. I don't remember what the contract was supposed to be worth. Now it's $2 million a year with all the deferred money, but they weren't giving him that just to be a hitter. So that was with the intent of him getting back on the mound next year. I guess it'd be interesting to wonder if he's going to be if he would relieve.
That's all you do. You can't, man. You don't want to mess him up, Phil. You know, I get the shiny toy, the prize, and what you got, but man, that's a lot of ball that he's played. Maybe make him a Trevor Hoffman. Make him a seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning guy. I just Eric Gagne, whatever. He's so talented. That's your ace in the hole. I mean, why not? I don't think you make him a starting pitcher anymore.
Well, that definitely puts some taxing on that.
That's
arm.
It, right? Like you're not. What are you gonna? Then you lose your bat later on.
Okay, BE talking about Gabe with his three walks. Obviously, my son just buys into the old school Moneyball idea, which we can use the term old school with Moneyball since that was like 24 years ago.
Is his swing better than Kevin Youkilis's though? See, he's undervalued because
he doesn't put the bat all the way up there like Euclid did. Euclid has had the closest stance to Julio Franco that I can remember. Just you don't teach kids to hit like that.
What about
it's
that?
Only the special ones that can pull it off.
That Jeff Bagwell stance where he looks like he's sitting in a chair. He's like, hey, just stand up just a little bit.
He's one of the only hitters that I remember that when you would watch him swing, and you know you're supposed to take a step forward when you swing. No, his legs were so far apart, his first step was a little backward. He was just a little backward. I think Pujols sometimes would be like that too.
I think
he was really on.
Luka Doncic should look at that for his defensive stance. You know, maybe break down a little bit better. That's perfect.
Well, so you brought up the idea with Luka being. You know, he's got the old man moves at age 25. You know, what we always think about old man moves with offense and the little shoulder fakes and the little dip and dive and, you know, just the ability to play through just enough contact around the rim and in the paint. What about old man defensive moves? He's never necessarily been like the ace defender anyway.
Yeah, that's you got to be able to use your body. That's to stay Mitch Richmond, Gary Payton, the glove. That's how you want to play some defense. The rules have changed. It's so hard to stay in front of. I kind of halfway joke. It's not really basketball is not made anymore to guard somebody one-on-one. You can't it's physically impossible the way the rules are. And they're just too good of ball handlers. They're going to get past you one-on-one. You got to have help defense.
So who you got on your NBA schedule? Do I didn't even ask about Champions League. I said, now we do have a
tradition. OMG.
Hold on. So we do have a tradition. My kids and I, before Little League, we go have the, maybe this isn't the right way to do it, but we do Mexican before Little League. Now, you've got an hour and a half to digest before all of that, you know, before the game starts. So it all works out. And they had Champions League on in the restaurant, of course, because so many of the Mexican restaurants will have on professional soccer. So I don't think I saw Dortmund yesterday. I don't remember the one that was up on the television. But what happened in that yesterday? Because I know that's really was the top of your list.
You know the Yellow Brick Road, Wizard of Oz, right?
It was. I know that one, and I know the one that Elton John sang about.
There we go. It was the Yellow Brick Wall, the defense. There's the Purple People Eaters, the steel curtain. But it's the Yellow Brick Wall.
The no-name defense.
It's what you call Dortmund. They're black and yellow. Wiz Khalifa all day. And they couldn't. But I'm Phil. PSG hit the woodwork four times in about a 30-minute. I mean,
okay, all right, hold on. What kind of terminology is this? What is hitting the woodwork?
The fair pole. It'd be like hitting the but then it doesn't go in obviously because it's bouncing back off. But they had some chances. Dortmund's the same. You got to look at it like this too. So Dortmund's a buy low. They buy young players and then they sell them high. They had Jude Bellingham, who's a top five player in the world.
They know how to make money off plays at Real Madrid. Their personnel.
They had Edward Holling, who was there as well. That they sold to Man City a couple years ago. That's Terrell Owens that you're selling, and Anthony Edwards. You know, if you want to say Jude Bellingham, I mean, you're selling the best of the best, and they're still going to the Champions League final. It really is kind of weird. It'd be like Arkansas making it. I mean, it's they're never considered an LSU or an Alabama. They're just that next group underneath. I mean, they're not even the best team in their domestic league, you know, not even close. But they got pride. They play hard. They play with passion, kind of like an Atletico Madrid. If you think about them in La Liga, real defensive, gonna be grimy. It was a fun game. Now today, this is the big one, Bayern Munich and Real Madrid, all the fireworks. It's going to be fun.
All right. So I know what you're doing at 2:00.
2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Jude Bellingham.
He'll be ready for it. No, JT, he did not mean the foul pole. He meant the fair pole. He knows the correct terminology, at least in my mind. Woodwork. We're going to have to figure out a way to get that into a college baseball game. It's going to be a little difficult. We don't have a lot of wood in college baseball.
Well, it's like the goalpost. It's not wood either, but it's the goal. It'd be the same, the goalpost, yeah.
Ping. Supposed to make a sound, right?
Pickford, he's the England goalkeeper, and there was a game. He plays at Everton. He's garbage. But he's got to be their number one. And the ball goes off the woodwork, and he hits it, and then hits it down again. And all he has to do is let it go, and then it fell to Divock Origi. He's a Belgian, and he puts it in, and Liverpool was able to get to be. This is like 2 years ago, but they called it a double doink. Yeah, because it hit the thing twice. So that was.
Double doink kind of feels like butt fumble to me.
Yeah, a little Sanchez. Bit. Mark, there you go. Pickford would be Mark Sanchez. Exactly. Oh, you're like, wow. I don't know how we just won, but we did. And then he'll do something, and you're like, bro, you really got to chill out. You have to chill out.
We might need to draft a new quarterback.
Yeah. England needs a new number one goalkeeper. That's for sure.
Hickey and Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
Welcome to McLarty Daniel Country.
With 6 giant locations and over 3,000 vehicles, Northwest Arkansas is McLarty Daniel Country. Stop by one of our showrooms today to shop our full lineup of cars, trucks, and SUVs.
McLarty Daniel is proud to be your premier automotive destination.
Need service? We work on all makes and models 6 days a week. Plus, our full-service collision center can repair anything from a minor ding to a major collision. Have you visited McLarty Daniel Country?
Visit us online at McLartyDaniel.com.
We got Grant Hull with us each Wednesday, usually about this time. Morning, Grant. How you doing today?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm a little bit sad because a good friend died this week. You may have seen that Hootie Ingram, at 90 years old, passed away. He was a guy who was an assistant coach at Arkansas from 67 through 69. He later became athletic director at Florida State and Alabama. It lived in Birmingham when he died. He was an SEC associate commissioner for a while, but he was also in First Baptist Church when my dad was pastor here. And I mean, he was there every time the door opened. And I remember him telling me I didn't know until I read the obituary that he had a record of 10 interceptions in one season as a sophomore at Alabama in 1952 that still stands. And he coached defensive backs at Arkansas. And I remember him telling us at a gathering up at our house one time on Mount Sequoia that, Georgia had just gone into computers and they had all these things. They had tendencies of their team and the other team. And of course, everyone else was soon to follow that. But he said, no matter what you do, you can have all the computer printouts. But he said, every team settles into tendencies. And Matt, you would, appreciate that. I mean, yeah, the other team may know what's coming, but you got to do what you have confidence in. And that's what teams do. But he was just a great guy. And, he had a son. His name was Cecil Ingram, and his son Cecil was about 6'6" and was a very good golfer. And, I got to see Hootie a couple of times at bowl games through the years. We had a coach that said he should have been the coach at Rice. So they could have been the Hootie Owls, But, what really made me sad was that, so I started thinking about who can I call yesterday, and of course, Frank Broyles has passed away, and people like Dean Weber, who was here later, but he would have known of Hootie, and he's passed away, and then I thought of Chuck Dykus, I should have called him, and there's a guy named Gus Rusher that we play golf with sometimes at Paradise Valley, who was on that 69 team. You know, listen to the other guys that Hootie coached with: John Barnhill was the AD, Frank was the head coach, Charlie Coffey, Mervin Johnson, Johnny Majors, Wilson Matthews. were on that first staff. And then in 68, Frank brought in Don Brough and Harold Horton and Richard Williamson. And that's when they brought in, you know, they had Bill Montgomery and Chuck Dykus, and they had guys that could complete third and 20, you know, that they'd never really had before. And, of course, those guys were all on the staff in 69 when Arkansas came within one play or came within a coach's decision, however you want to say it, of when having a great chance to win the national championship against Texas.
Yeah, so Hootie Ingram would be one of the, I mean, almost countless people why we have an award that's based in Little Rock that's called the Royals Award. Of course, you know, David Basil had to put the thing together and get it cleared by the College Football Awards and accepted, and it's become, I mean, man, it's become the accepted award for the top assistant coach in college football, and Hootie Ingram would be one of the, I mean, if you're an athletic director at those two schools you'd mention, and he worked for Frank, it's a pretty lasting impact. And that was one I hadn't heard of, and I know about all of the, you know, not all, I guess I thought I knew about most of the branches on his coaching tree, but here's another one.
Well, you know, he was a head coach at Clemson for 3 years before, you know, Clemson became the, you know, Danny Ford, I think, won a national title when he was 30 or 31 years old there or something. And we know what they've done since then. But, and of course, Ken Hatfield coached there for a while. But Hootie did that. And I always thought that he would have been a really good coach at Arkansas because of his personality and ability to recruit. But he got into administration and he was so good at that that that's what he did most of his career.
Hey, Grant, I saw that women's golf was on top after two rounds. Third round in Vegas is today. But, I mean, it looks like everybody should have teed off by now. Do you know what's happened?
I think they've been starting at 10 a.m. around in there. And I figured out they've got a 19-shot clearance over sixth place. You got to finish in the top five, you know. So I think they're fairly safe, especially if they keep playing the way they did in the first two rounds when they were eight under par each round in Las Vegas. So they're doing great. You know, Mystery had a great first round, and I'm trying to think. Todd, I believe, shot 66 yesterday, and of course, Marine is always good and steady. So I'm sure they'd like to go ahead and win the thing as a bonus and give them confidence going into Nationals. I think Purdue is within four shots out going into today.
Hey, Grant, stay with some basketball. Devo going to Oklahoma State, Khalif Battle going to Zaga, and Blocker going to DePaul. Out of those three, do you think all three of those guys have success? Which one of those three guys do you think went to the best spot for them to have success?
Well, I think probably Battle, just because he'll be in a system that knows offense really well. I mean, I told somebody the other day he might average 25 points for those guys. You know, you never know how it's going to play out. But that should be a good situation for him. And then Devo, I think, could do well at Oklahoma State. I guess we forget that originally he was going to go there, you know, and then Arkansas pulled him away in the recruiting from Oklahoma State. And they haven't been very good lately, but he'll go into a situation where I would think he could go in there and start and have a pretty good year. And, of course, Blocker, you know, a lot of people would like to have seen him stay here, had a lot of potential, and but he's younger. But I would say probably Battle. It'd be really interesting to see how he and Mark Few mesh, how they gel together, and if that's going to be a good fit for him.
Yeah, you got to play defense for Few as well. That's the other thing. I'm with you. I think Battle, he'll be a top five just most athletic guard in that conference, in that league. And then I think with Blocker kind of going a step down to DePaul, man, I think Blocker's really going to shine as well.
Yeah, he should. And since we're on basketball, Matt, you'll be proud. I've been watching a lot of NBA ball.
There we go.
In the playoffs. And I tell you, I'm just going to flatly predict that Minnesota is going to win the whole thing.
I like it, man.
It's a long shot, but I mean, what they did to Denver in the first two games, and I saw where Mike Conley was named Teammate of the Year. He's like a coach on the floor, and in his 17th year, he's cultish, man. I mean, he's doing it for them, and he's not the only one. I mean, how about Edwards? Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about him last week, I think, and there's a guy that could kind of help carry a team. So I know there's a lot of, Boston's playing well, and and the obvious ones that are playing. But what they've done to Denver is pretty startling, I would say.
Minnesota looks young, fresh, ready to go. Denver looks old and tired those first two games, Grant. It was and to your point, Minnesota has the number one ranked defense in the NBA this year. So that's, you know, defense wins championships.
Yeah, and they're physical too. I mean, I remember Barkley talking about that last week, but I think he kind of saw this coming maybe. The series isn't over.
C-Unit picked the T-Wolves as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Grant, I saw a pretty gruesome injury yesterday for Cardinals catcher Wilson Contreras. J.D. Martinez hit him with the bat inadvertently. It was a catcher's interference, you know, and they were showing that the Cardinals have wanted to, because framing is supposed to be a big deal now and has been for really, I mean, it's been a big deal for a long time, but now, you know, coaches feel that you can sort of quantify how many strikes a catcher can steal for you. So they've got him closer up to the plate, and you think about how the change in how catchers even operate now, the knee down on the ground, even with men on base, tough to block. It's all about trying to frame pitches around the strike zone until somebody breaks their forearm and is out for like 2 months.
Yeah, I think baseball needs to address this a little bit, Phil, because there have been 33 of these already this year. I think there were 90 altogether last year. And it's not just framing, it's trying to get up there on pitches before they get lower as they cross the plate, and maybe the umpire can't see it the way they'd like him to see it. And that's exactly what happened last night. And the hitter was known for kind of waiting late, hitting the right field. And so it didn't happen on that. There have been a lot of them that have been on the backswing. You know, I've seen some of those this year, too.
Heck, we had, it was Vaheva Aloy hit, I think it was the Florida catcher in the wrist with a backswing,
right,
too. I mean, it's happening in college baseball, too.
Yeah, and I had seen it in some Cardinal games. I don't know what they can do. I mean, Ollie Marmol last night was talking about that and specifically what we're saying, how it happened. And you'd like to see catchers protected because he was having a pretty good year for the Cardinals, too.
Hey, last thing, and it's like a combination of baseball and football thrown in here with the new commit for Arkansas football, the wide receiver, 28-year-old Monty Harrison. Man, I got to say, there are naysayers that I've seen. There's going to be naysayers about everything, but they're like, oh, look at how desperate Arkansas football is. Man, Tennessee was in on this guy. Nebraska was in on this guy. And if you can rob a home run in AAA at the fence, if you can steal if you're successful on 84% of your stolen bases in pro baseball, that tells me you know how to use your speed. And he's got size, man, and he's older. I mean, I don't know. He hasn't played football in a long time, but it just seems to me with this kind of athlete, maybe he could make an impact.
Yeah, and Matt, you've talked about this too, about how you have to have a number of guys with that kind of blazing speed anymore. Arkansas hasn't had it recently in numbers. They have Satania and a few others, but maybe he can make a difference that way. He's played a little bit of Major League Baseball and, had good numbers, I guess, when he played football. It's been a long time. But that's going to be one of those things, if he succeeds, it'll be a unique story. It'll get a lot of play around the country, I think.
Well, and that's why I tell kids to play all the sports, Grant, because you know tracking, if you're playing center field if you're playing any position in the outfield and you're tracking a fly ball, that's not much difference than tracking a post or a deep, you know, as far as like a deep throw in football. It's the same type of concept.
It's just the outfield fence is the cornerback.
Well, yeah, somebody's going to hit you or you're going to run, but it's having awareness and it's just part of the process, eye-hand coordination. And I love the fact that he's at least a 4-5 guy. I mean, you got to have more 4-5 guys up there.
Yeah, and quickly, Phil, I even think, Holt's done a good job of playing all over the place, but I would like to see Wilmsmeyer back in there in center field. As someone told me the other day that Arkansas was 15-4, I think, whatever the numbers amount, and then there were 2-4 in the conference without him starting.
Yeah.
And I know he hasn't been hitting lately, but he's got a good batting eye, and, they got bitten defensively a little bit last weekend, so maybe you'll see him back in there in this series. We'll see.
Some things to get into in just a moment, too. Grant, we'll leave it there. Appreciate your time, man. See you at Baum this weekend, okay?
Okay, see you.
Thanks, Grant.
Grant Hall with us each Wednesday here on Halftime.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Well, welcome back to Halftime. It is hour number two on it's a sweaty day when you walk outside, man. You can feel the danger in the air for potential storms later tonight. Hope we're all gonna sleep okay. I don't know, Matt. I feel like I might wake up tomorrow and might need to go back to sleep after getting the kids to school in the morning. So maybe I'll just kind of wake up at 10:30 and have a show and go.
Yeah, I had to do the salt water this morning. My throat's getting a little scratchy, so trying to, you know, wake up, scratchy throat, kind of tough to go back to sleep.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's welcome on our good friend and the former publisher and editor of Hogs Illustrated and current national senior columnist at hitthatline.com, Clay Henry, with us for the next couple of hours. Clay.
National. I went national today.
Yeah, that's absolute, man. It's worldwide, truthfully. I probably cut you off from the rest of the continents and the oceans, because hitthatline.com is worldwide, man. They could read it on the International Space Station.
12 languages.
Mm-hmm. That's exact. Well, I mean, we're leaving out a lot of languages. We should probably just try to get it translated into everything.
I'm fluent in Latin.
You are?
Et tu, Brute?
That's the only Latin I know. Well, I know a couple of other terms in Latin.
There's some Latin that slips in every once in a while. I took a year of Latin, the most miserable year of my life.
Yeah, good thing for me, I never had to. Now, let's say I learned a little Hebrew as a kid in Hebrew school, you know, getting ready for the bar mitzvah, and even after that, I've forgotten most of it, though if I ever do go to a service at synagogue, I can sort of like piece together some of the words, have no idea what they mean. But I can sort of speak a little bit or read a little bit of incredibly broken Hebrew. But that's about it. That and maybe a couple of Spanish words that I learned just walking in and out of Travelers Clubhouses over the years.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to be here today.
It's good to have you, man. Good to have you. Got a couple callers on hold, but I wanted to before we go to them, just, you know, you did a really nice column about Chris Mortensen and the funeral at Christchurch. That was Monday, right?
It was, yes.
Yeah. Kevin Trainer had told me he was in Kentucky with us.
I saw Kevin.
And he was standing there in the booth with me for the three games, and he'd said that that's what he had going on the next day after the series finale. And it's not a funeral. It was a celebration of life, and it made so much sense, because it hit me when he told me that he's going to the Chris Mortensen service. I'm like, when? I mean, it's like it passed away. It had been over a month ago.
2 months.
2 months. See, I knew it had been a long time. But, I mean, you're just taking the account what Mort did, you know, professionally for all those years, and what a lot of his colleagues also had to focus on at the same time. They had to wait until the NFL draft was over, which really made a lot of sense.
And there's also the other part of it is that, you know, son Alex is offensive coordinator at
spring ball
Alabama Birmingham, UAB, with Trent Dilfer, and he had spring ball and in recruiting, and this was better for his timeline too, and I think it truthfully, you know, they needed some time to kind of put it together, and you know, Ronnie Floyd was masterful in his ability to, of course, you know, he and Chris were really close. He was Chris's pastor when they first moved here, and it's always been his, you know, spiritual leader. But the people at Cross Church did a wonderful job. The scene, Jordan Grizzard sang two songs, two classics, and it just, you know, I look around, and, you know, here's all these A-listers, and we're all in tears. But it was a celebration, and yeah, I counted I think 17 ESPN, you know, A-listers kind of people, you know, when you think about Chris Berman and Adam Schefter, and I mean, just all through there, and there were people that I didn't recognize, and I'm sure they were, you know, off-camera types, you know, producers, directors, vice presidents, and it was a fantastic service, as you might imagine that Chris Mortensen would have.
Well, I also think, like, I should have a sense of it because, I mean, I grew up as ESPN was growing into, you know, the behemoth that it's become now. But for folks who are younger, you know, and you see people like Adrian Wojnarowski.
He was there.
Ken Rosenthal. Just the ones who were the insiders of the insiders that also, back in the day, they would have just been writers. You know, and Mort was a trailblazer. Like, that's one of the reasons that he was revered, aside from being incredibly good at what he did and treating people with respect. He was a trailblazer, you know, leaving print to go on camera at a time when there really weren't a lot of people that were doing it.
Yeah. I can't remember. Both Adam Schefter and Chris Berman, Boomer, spoke, and I can't remember which one said, but Sal Palantonio was there, and he was a print guy, and got in. You know, now he's the Eagles beat guy, right, for ESPN, and does other things. But he says Sal goes out in his backyard and looks at his swimming pool. He's like, "Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris." You know, it's like that's true. I mean, that's, you know, he wouldn't have the life that he had if ESPN hadn't snapped him up, you know, just like they did Chris Mortensen, and it worked. And Adam Schefter, same thing. I had forgotten until I watched the ESPN, you know, produced a magnificent video with all the stuff they had done, including their pre-draft coverage where they talked about Mort, that he had. He was one of the first one hired by Frank DeFord at the National. And I mean, I just forgot that even existed.
Oh, I remember when that came out. Like, that was the early 90s. And I remember thinking to myself, because USA Today did Baseball Weekly, which was national. You know, you had your Sports Illustrated and everything. But I was so excited about the idea of what the National was going to be. And now it's like, well, that's a really quaint idea when you think about it with everything we have going now. It was just ahead of its time. And for Mort to be one of the first on staff, I mean, that just...
He's a great writer.
Yeah.
And I got lucky, and I was walking to practice one day. Alex is on the Razorback team, you know, backup quarterback, on scholarship. And I was walking through the Razorback Stadium on the way to the practice field, you know, south of the stadium. It's where the football offices are now, but that was the practice field. And I hear a voice, and it's Coach Broyles, and he's behind me walking with Mort. And they're like, "Watch practice with us." I said, "I'm going to practice." He said, "No, we don't watch from out there." They had two folding chairs on the second floor of the south end zone, you know, building. And, you know, you could look straight down up there through the glass, and it's, you know, nobody could see you. So I watched for about 3 years. I watched practice most days during the middle of the week when Mort was in town with Frank Broyles and Chris Mortensen. I just pinched myself. You know, I was like, am I here? And they're talking about the Cowboys, and they're talking, you know, you can imagine what those two men were talking about, and just to be, you know, a fly on the wall, which I was. And then to be able to watch practice with them and understand what I was seeing, you know, you just learned a lot of football. And those are the foundation of, you know, what I had with Chris for many years. Just, you know, I'd write a column. I didn't think it was any good. And I get a text from Chris, "Hey, I really like that. And I learned something," you know, it's like, and we worked together on coach search, you know, stories, you know, whenever, because ESPN's working on them too. And he's right in the middle. And of note, Monday, sitting just to my side, and, you know, I'm sure Kevin Traynor saw him too, was Jimmy Sexton. So you know what Jimmy Sexton and Chris probably talked about, all those coaching searching deals, and he's in the middle of that. He could call anybody. Can you imagine what his phone looks like? I mean, the contact list for Chris Mortensen?
Well, he would have had a Rolodex when that was really a thing too.
He would, yeah. Yeah, But it was Monday was, I would say, you know, they did it like he was a rock star, which I, in my mind, Chris Mortensen, he's a rock star.
And let's take a couple of phone calls. We got them on hold here if you want to get on. The McLarty Daniel hotline remains open, 877-377-6963. Eddie is here. What's up, Eduardo? How are you?
Man, I am doing great. Anticipating this heavyweight matchup come Friday night at Bomb State. You know, it's up to the players. You know, I've said this many times. The moment's going to come Friday night. I want the players in this batting lineup to visualize the moment. But visualize the base runners, and you're going to knock them in. And so I want you to feed the Mississippi State Bulldogs a big dose of hitting mojo, because here we go down the stretch. And everybody, as I said the other day, has something to play for. And so Mississippi State's coming in here looking to feed you some hitting mojo. And rest assured they will. If you don't bring your mojo, play your best ball Friday night. It starts Friday night. And then some of you hitters, you know, you swing at balls in the dirt. You chase balls out of the strike zone. You swing at balls over your head. And what perturbs me more is you just sit there and hold the bat and take strike three. What bases, runners, loaded bases. I mean, that can't happen.
I hear the frustration, Eddie. Believe me, I'm watching it as much as you are as well. Clay, we'll have to hit on some of the hitting things later, but there is something that Eddie brought up there that I just feel like you might have to, you know, so come prepared, be ready for Friday, right? I'm not worried about any game that Hagen Smith starts. Not one. Not one. Because truthfully, the last two starts he's made, he's allowed one run in each of them. They shouldn't have even scored. He's been that dominant. They'll win every game he pitches. They're 9-7 in SEC games that he doesn't pitch. It's a winning record, but it's not great. They're unbeatable with Hagen Smith just because they have won every game that he's pitched. It's games two and games three. Not that worry me, but it's like, all right, now that you got to be focused, of course, Friday, but you know, two runs will win you a game on Friday. Saturday and Sunday might not be the case.
I think you're right. I mean, it's I mean, he's pitched in – they've won 40 games that he's pitched in since he's come to Arkansas in 3 years. I don't think I've ever heard anything like that. I mean, it's incredible.
And he's in different roles, too.
Yeah, I mean, but they've won 40 games that he's pitched. I mean, they haven't won every game.
Yeah.
He pitched in a game in postseason against TCU. They didn't win. But it's you like your chances, I guess, is the understatement of the whole season. You like your chances with that guy on there. Your team is confident. They're on their toes. And, you know, that's with the other team pitching their best. Now, not everybody's pitching their best against him because it's, you know, it's let's save him for another day. Let's not waste any bullets when Hagen's out there. But I think that Mississippi State will be coming for him. And they're playing good ball, and it should be an entertaining game. I'm excited for these last six games and for postseason.
Absolutely. I mean, this is for, I wouldn't say all the marbles. It's for a small bag of marbles, you know, to win a division, to try to win a regular season in the SEC, and then go from there.
Yeah, I've thought this for some time, and I watched them. You know, I went down to Arlington and watched in Globe Life Field and watched them play in that setting in a big park, and it's like this team is built in it, defense and pitching, that this team is built for, you know, is it Charles Schwab Field? Is that what the name of the place
in
Omaha is?
They call it the Chuck. Yeah, the Chuck.
The Chuck. It's built for that park. The wind blowing in is what you get most of the time in Omaha. It's a cavern. In fact, you know, I've thought all along that Ty Wilsmeyer, he was brought here to play center field in that stadium. He can run down everything. And I have a feeling that they're going to try to get him going again and get hold to left field. But it's, you know, if you can win, get through, you know, the two regionals, your chances are as good as anybody's in Omaha because of your pitching and your defense.
Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer.
Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
It's the time of the year where I do start looking at the D1 baseball projections for the postseason, and they just came out with their latest ones, where they've got Arkansas as a number 5 seed, the top 4 overall seeds. They have Kentucky, A&M, Tennessee, and Clemson in that order. They have projected, coming to Fayetteville, Texas, St. John's. That's a program Arkansas has got history with in recent postseason matchups. And Little Rock, the Trojans, who lead the OVC, and we've already seen them this year. They've got the Fayetteville region across from this weekend's opponent. Mississippi State would be hosting in Starkville, according to D1. Oklahoma State, La Tech, and Samford being the teams there. That's juicy. I mean, that's 7 teams. Really, I would even say Samford, because every time we go to Birmingham or Hoover for the SEC tournament, the team practices at Samford. So it's a juicy team field of 8 right there. I'm all about it. I'd love for Texas to come here. They're playing really well now, too.
I think that'd be awesome.
And they get these right sometimes. Like, the D1 baseball guys know, because they do things, not D1, like the selection committee, they will do things in a regional sense. I don't think that the selection committee for basketball cares about any sort of regionality whatsoever. The baseball committee does, and that's why you see, I mean, St. John's is not from the region, but good luck finding, you know, a team near New York
City. They're going to travel no matter what.
They have to travel. Little Rock in Texas, man, that makes sense. Then, you know, then again, there was last year. You were sent Santa Clara, and there was when they could have gone and played in Stanford. But a lot of times they hit these ones right on the money. Yeah.
So you'd have a really, if that happens, and you know Little Rock comes here, and you know they'd be the 4, right?
Yes.
And so you got a unique first game situation against Arkansas that you'd have starting pitcher Jackson Wells from Rogers, who led the nation in ERA last year. Arkansas could have had him out of Rich Mountain. ULR took him instead. So, yeah, it's just kind of, it's kind of interesting to see how that might work out.
Matt, all right, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, can you get a pick?
You know, I'm a Barca guy, I'm a Liverpool guy, I'm a UV guy. I'm going to go captain Harry Kane, scores a brace, and I'm a Dortmund guy. Let's just go for, like you say, let's go for extra time and penalty kicks.
Ooh, you're going with my World Series strategy.
I like it.
I love it, man. I hope it happens for you. I'm rooting for you. I'm not rooting for any of the teams. I'm just rooting for you. I'm on your side. I'm on your side too, listeners, as we always are. And thank you very much, Clay Henry. Always appreciate you joining
Enjoyed
us.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
On these Wednesdays. For Clay, for MJ, for the C-Unit, I'm Phil. Download the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast and stay tuned for Ruskin and Zach. And get up, get out, and get better.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com. This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.